Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Oh, very nice. I am presenting this episode, and there's always a joke about the second record, which is always slightly more difficult because we've already had quite a lot of Prosecco, but... Our guest has already, before she arrived, because she is so professional, she'd already had a bottle of Prosecco. Ooh, good girl. Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. I wanted to do like Manchester-based drinks for my kind of like, it's this meets this. So I Googled like, what do they drink in Manchester? And it just said, fuckloads. I can't work with that, is what I'm saying. So what I've done is I've done television programs. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is where Smirnoff Ice meets Miami Vice.
Ah.
It's where Hawk meets Sherlock.
Uh-huh.
And it's where Fortified Wine meets Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Ah, that's cute.
Nice. It's a true crime podcast with a twist.
Oh,
yeah. I get such a hard on when that happens. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the incredible Lou Conran!
Yeah. Lou! Yeah! Hello!
For the podcast listeners, that was a double thumbs up.
Double.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lou. I can't be responsible for what comes out of my little mouth. Oh, man. I've had a lovely time so far and we haven't even started. Oh, I can feel my cheeks burning. And on my face.
Lou, we have one question. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Oh God, I've been the victim of a crime many, many a time. I have a particular memory.
Go on.
Oh, I will. Thank you. I was squatting in... No, I wasn't. I was subletting in a house in the very posh area of Turnham Green, Chiswick, in the London... Yes!
Wow!
Ooh.
Oh, there's still some here, too.
You sort yourselves out, girls. It's fine. I'm telling a very emotional story, but you fucking carry on. And yes, my mate my mate Jane on the in-breath. Oh, yeah, you're right. She doesn't exhale. She doesn't. She's from Rochdale. I've seen her inhale an entire cigarette, never saw her blow it back out. Don't know how she's still alive. Anyway, she came to visit me. I've never been to London. She came to visit me in London, and I was living with my mate Annie Slapper. We went to a party. We took Jane out, like in London. And then when we got back, the flat had been burgled.
Oh,
right?
No.
Oh, horrific! Oh, nightmare. And I was livid because my Parker anorak had been stolen.
Oh, come on!
From TK Maxx.
Oh,
$8.99. Furious. They'd stolen a bra.
Ooh.
And I can only assume because it was so massive they could put the loot in it, right? And then they'd stolen a shitload of other stuff. But I had a drawer full of money. I say full of money. Okay. £25. But they'd left that. And,
oh, wow.
And they'd just like had a rifle through and they'd...
Amateurs.
Amateurs. And then they'd stolen like me video, but not me, the remote control. And they were just like, yeah, fucking whatever. Error. And then, but in the middle of the floor in my boudoir,
yeah,
the room of passion. The only passion I had was with myself. And... very smooth fingers. And
for the listeners, there was an awesome gesture which not going to be able to recreate.
If I ever burgled anything, you wouldn't get a fingerprint off that motherfucker, I tell you. And then in the middle of the floor in the boudoir of Passion, there was a tampon applicator used.
Oh! What?
Yes.
Wow.
Didn't you clean up after yourself?
And I was like, what have they done? They've gone, oh shit, I'm going to stop burgling for a second. So I think I've just come on. Oh, pop one up and then fucked off.
Wow.
Yeah. And then like,
this is complex.
It really is. And then we'd been out with Annie Slapper and her friend, who is a very famous actor, but he wasn't that famous at the time, but his name is Richard Armitage. And he was... Yes! If you don't know Richard Armitage, he's been in Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, and he's been in Spooks, and he's been in... He's like... He's like... Oh,
he's that guy.
He's that guy. And he came back with us, and then we discovered that we were burglarized, right?
That's the word.
And then he called the police and he sorted it out. But because he was so delicious and lovely and good looking... I was trying to play it cool, and then the police arrived, and they were like, "So, you know, what do you think?" And I was like, "Oh God, it's just like an episode of The Bill." And I was like, "Oh, the thing that I'm most distraught about is the fact there's a tampon applicator in the middle of my bedroom." And then they were like, "Oh God, that's really weird. Or we'll take that for evidence." And then they left, and then after they went, Jane went, "Oh, I think it was mine." So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did it get into the middle of your bedroom?
Because she'd obviously gone and. But she didn't want to. I mean, that sounds like it's cavernous. But she'd obviously just put it in the bin that was in my bedroom, and they'd obviously emptied the bin or kicked it over for some reason.
Right.
But it was just laying in the middle of the floor, and I thought it was a dirty protest. But Jane had obviously... Jane had obviously gone, oh, no, and then I got there. and then waited until all the police and everybody had gone, and they'd go, oh, I'm sorry, I think it was mine. And then it was just, oh, all right, oh, great, cheers, thanks.
Wow.
Yeah.
That story had everything.
It had a
cameo from a famous guy?
Yeah. Like,
period blood? Well, you don't get
enough
of that.
I know. There's not enough of that, is there?
Oh, my God. Wow. Often we ask on this podcast, like, what would you say to the... I mean, to be honest, there was so much more about the, you know,
I'd want to say, why did you take the bra and not the money?
Yeah.
Are you 15? What is this?
As I said, it was quite a weighty bra.
Right, so you think they were using
it as you could pack in a lot of shit in the bra. Right. It's a good hold-all. Okay, at the end of the day,
so that is
it?
Answered. That
yeah,
is answered.
Yeah, I reckon.
Okay,
yeah.
My question is void.
Unless they were just perverts or prepubescents and thought, oh, I'll have that, I might grow into it. Or just thought, some old lady said that. You just don't know, do you? Just don't know.
It's an odd burglary.
It was, because that bra cost me a fucking fortune. I was livid.
Yeah. Maybe they knew.
Maybe they knew. Maybe they were going to sell it on.
Yeah.
With its yellow the crusty black bits. Market. You know when it goes yellow and you have to kind of snap it after to try and just break it up a bit. Just me?
Oh my God, bringing out the just me this early. I love it. Brilliant. I've got a feeling we're going to have a lot of oversharing tonight and I'm enjoying it.
Sorry about that, but
no,
one has
very
really,
nice.
Really gone method on this podcast.
Well, thank you, Lou, for sharing that extraordinary story. I don't know what to say.
So they never caught them? The police didn't? No.
No. Mm. I think they said it was just kids trying their luck.
Yeah.
But what we discovered was that there was another... there was a woman, the other woman that we lived with, but we never saw her. She thought she was Marilyn Monroe. And the only time we ever saw her was when she was bleaching her hair and she'd come onto the landing in the flat and go... Boop, boopy, doop, boop. And that was it. And that was the only time we ever saw her. Okay, but she'd left her window open and we blamed it on Marilyn.
Well,
for tits again. Left the window open.
It gets more and more glamorous. I love
yeah. This is a very glamorous crime.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's got bras, it's got Marilyn.
I love that you're like, ooh,
don't forget Richard.
Some.
Well, I think it's time to delve into some true crime. So, it's not very glamorous, this one. This one, we are in 1941. We're in Denver. And we've got a man murdered in the kitchen of his own home.
Ooh.
He was stabbed to death and no one was seen leaving the house after it happened. Ooh. And it's a fact that nobody left the house after it happened. Immediately.
The murderer is still there.
Oh, my God, like what... 70 years later. Could be. Murderer's still there. Taylor, what are you thinking?
Or he stabbed himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Okay. So it was a murder-suicide?
Or he fell on a knife.
Yeah, how many times was he stabbed?
I think a lot.
So it's not like he fell on the dishwasher?
Times.
Imagine a real detective saying that, like, how many stab wounds? I think a lot. A lot.
It was a lot. Yeah, yeah. So I'm not actually going to tell you exactly what happened yet, so I'm going to give you a little bit more information. So we have a murderer. The murderer was a man called Theodore Conies, who was born in Illinois in the 1880s.
Well, how have they pinned this on him if he never even left?
Well, this is what we're going to find out. Spooky.
Did he assume his identity? Do you mean literally he never left the house or he didn't?
Well, okay. This is what we're going to find out. So as a child, he had poor health. Go on.
Was he a ghost?
Was he a ghost?
Was he a ghost?
Gone in early on the ghost theory, but I'm all for it.
A ghost called Teddy Conies.
As a child, he had poor health, which made him pretty thin. The murderer. This was also during the Great Depression, and he struggled to keep a job long term and frequently found himself without a place to live. So any advance on what you think happened?
So he lives in the roof.
Oh!
He's squatting.
And he's really fucking thin. And he can just... in between the ceiling board things. Go in, go out, stab, get back
just
up.
Like that.
I mean, we could call it off here because that is the story, yes.
Yeah.
It is. It's the story of the Denver Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Yeah, so cool because he lived in the attic of the house after the murder took place. This is super
shit.
Creepy.
Oh,
we've all wanted to
he
do that.
He just carried on squatting.
Is Richard Armitage in your attic somewhere?
In a way.
So the victim was a guy called Philip Peters, known to Coney's as they went to the same guitar club. Philip was a retiree and lived with his wife, Helen, and Coney's went round to Philip's house about a week before the murder, but Philip wasn't in. He was visiting his wife in hospital because she was having a hip operation.
Bitch.
So... What do you think Coney's did when he realised Philip wasn't in?
Wait, Philip's the dead guy.
Uh-huh.
And he Coney's squatting around. Unknown.
Well, perhaps.
Did he move in then? Did he move in before the murder? Oh. Like literally what Lou said? Did he start living there? Could my voice get any higher? What?
Any advance what? On he started living there?
So did he like start playing the guitar like outside, like trying to get some attention? Then he realized no one was throwing stones at him through the window. So he was like, yep, this is the perfect place to move into. Yeah. Just going to go in. Or was it
with the guitar?
With the guitar, strumming the whole way.
Was this John Denver?
Country road. Well, he was homeless, so he went round to ask for some food, which was essentially what he was there for.
Okay.
I know, because it's kind of sad, but the thing is, like, when Philip wasn't in, he broke in and stole some food and then had a look round. And then he found a small hatch to a small attic.
Oh. Wow. You see this, though, on the internet, though, don't you? I mean, I know people living in... I mean, anyway, carry on. Sorry.
He did, he moved in.
This is the Tories' Denver.
A few days later, he popped downstairs when he knew Philip was out. But what do you think happened this time?
He was there. And he killed him with so many stabs.
Oh, wait, it's what? We're straight to the death. He's like...
Yeah.
Oh, so he wasn't there for very long, unknown.
No, he was only like, there for a few days.
Oh, shit, you've seen me stabby, stabby, stabby. That's not insensitive.
That's really brutal.
Philip came home whilst he was in the house and discovered Coney's raiding the fridge.
Wow.
And there was a fight and Coney's killed him and it all happened that quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, so this whole thing happened like in a flash. And so an hour later, a neighbour discovered Philip's body and the police were called. So the police searched the house.
Not the hatch though.
How well do you think they searched the house?
Not very well. Yeah.
Well, that is spot on. they couldn't find any evidence of the murderer. But obviously, as we know, he's upstairs in the attic. This happened on October the 17th.
Well,
when
you
do
go.
You think the police finally discovered Theodore Coney's?
November the 23rd.
Do you want to expand on
them? No. I've got my theories. I'm not going to share them. No.
I really fucking wish it was right. That would have been amazing.
Well, you gave a month instead of a year, so I feel like it's going to be
okay.
The next spring. So I'm going to say April.
Okay, April.
I'd like to back up a bit here.
Sorry.
I'm going to say 9 months. Hi. Continue.
So, but he got murdered, and then an hour later, the neighbours found him.
Yeah.
That's quite quick.
That's such a bit fucking come on, guys. Yeah, no, they must have heard it, and then they've gone... Oh, we'll leave it for a bit and then we'll have our Heinz soup.
What was the neighbour's reason we'll pop for popping round?
We'll do that.
Well, apparently it was because his wife was in hospital with her hip operation. He would go and he'd have dinner around there because men couldn't cook for themselves in the 40s.
Oh, but she's so selfish. Like, I need a new hip. You know, what is that? It's 1941. Be baking.
So he'd go around for dinner at his neighbour's house and then he didn't turn up, so they went and had a look.
Okay. All right, that's legit.
It's legit. I mean, and also we know who the murderer is. They're like, was it the neighbour? No, it was Theodore Coney's. You said April. You said 9 months later.
Yeah. November the 23rd, please.
So you're saying April, you're saying July. It was June.
I win!
Yay! Katie wins. It was June. So whilst detectives were like digging into Philip's past, trying to find out like a motive for this murderer, Coney's was upstairs in the attic. And the
still
attic...
raiding the fridge, the decaying fridge.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, he was. He was up there. He was up
gone
there for the whole
investigation. Gone onto the tin goods by this point.
Yeah. Mm. It's...
Do you know, if I've done a batch cook, though, I don't want to... I don't want to leave the house until I know I've eaten it all. Because it's just a waste, isn't it? It's just a waste. So you've got to think of these things.
And you don't have to leave the house until you've eaten it all.
No, you don't.
You don't have
to
do anything.
You absolutely fucking don't.
You are set up.
I fucking know. Thank you. Yeah.
Coney's is upset. And this attic, I've seen, you can find pictures of this attic and it's absolutely tiny. It's not like a loft conversion. It's like, yeah, it's insane. And in the interim, Philip's wife moves back into the house.
Oh, shit.
I know, right? This is fucked. Why did I choose this? It's fucked up.
No, it's amazing.
I mean,
no,
it's like incredible.
It's wow.
It's a crazy story. So she moves in with a friend. So the friend comes to sort of help around the house. But after a while, they both start reporting weird things happening around the house.
No. God.
Oh, no. So she's lost her
husband. She's bereaved. She's got
murder. And then she thinks there's a ghost in the attic. Like, that's what you would think.
The levels of MASH are going down on a regular basis. And she doesn't know why.
The MASH ghost.
I mean, you're not far off.
Oh,
it's the monster
hell.
Mash. Yeah. the food went missing. Food was going missing.
Yeah.
There were strange sounds. There were weird smells.
Where was he shitting?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say don't shit where you sleep, but he shat in the attic.
Oh.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, that was a film once, wasn't it? Oh, no. That was... No. Sorry.
Yeah, so actually you've got it spot on because they thought that it was a ghost. Of course they did. Like they
the
thought,
ghost of the dead husband.
Well, yeah, and the press dubbed the murder the Denver Ghost House Slaying. Which seems a lot, doesn't it? It seems a lot. So before the friend moved out.
They're competing with war headlines. Like, we've got to make this exciting.
Oh, yeah, because 1941.
It's 1941.
Yeah. Miss Peters was like... I'm out. So was the friend. But there kept being strange noises and disgusting smells reported.
What do they mean,
police?
I'm out? Like, they left. Like,
yeah, they left the house.
They didn't buy that particular business. They sorry.
Oh, you did? Are you on Dragon's Den?
Yeah. Didn't work. But they... I mean, did they leave the house?
They did. They were just like, well, this is creepy. I don't want to be here anymore.
So where did
it's
they go?
It's a no from me, so I'm out.
It's not going to be a chain.
So,
couldn't he find some discreet moments to carry his shit out? I'm stuck on the shit part.
Bag it up. He could have used it as wattle and daub, though, couldn't he? Well, you've got to put it to use. It's recycling, isn't it?
Yeah.
He didn't. Apparently, it was the smell was something that the like locals reported. And of course, like at the time, nobody ever saw anyone leave this house after his murder.
He's pissing through the roof.
Yeah,
it's awful.
I mean, my God.
Yes,
it's bad enough when my cat does this.
Yes.
Doesn't she know that there's a little like he didn't build this? This is part of the structure of their house. It's just amazing that. And wouldn't it seem like, this is part of being, like, since I became a parent, like, every day we play, like, what's that bad smell? Do you know what I mean? So you just do what normal people do, and you, like, try to basset hound out where the smell is, and eventually you get to it.
You've got a hip operation. You can't go up in the attic.
Oh, my God. You're right.
Where's Nick Knowles and DIYSOS? Fuck's sake.
Okay.
So basically the police are called, you know, several times to say, look, something weird is still happening in this house. So they search the house again.
It's a stinky ghost.
What do you think they found?
Nothing again, because it takes 9 months.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert, I've spoiled my own story. Okay. they didn't find anything, but this was quite a while
later. But they must have noticed the smell by this point.
They did, but they weren't basset hounding it. Maybe they weren't parents, I don't know.
Yeah, they could get up the stairs.
Well, they were not involved parents, I can tell you that.
Tell you what.
So basically, what do you think the police did? I mean, this is probably about 8 months later.
Lady, you're crazy. Oh,
they got an exorcist. Ooh, for the ghost, for the stinky ghost.
Oh my
ghost.
God, like a poltergeist remover, I think they're called.
I mean, that's the PC term. I don't think they did anything. I just think they went, oh, we've got more important things to do. Like,
well, you weren't counting on Roy Bloxham and Bill Jackson.
Not fucking Roy Bloxham. Fucking Jesus. God damn.
You could not have more like 1940s Denver policeman names.
Yeah.
So what do you think Roy and Bill did?
They went up the stairs. They went the distance.
Oh, they at least wrote some stuff down.
They wrote some stuff down.
1 o'clock.
I think they just walked around the house for a few times going,
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite a lot. And then I think one of them had a fag.
Yeah.
And then I think they went I think they went to a public house and then they had a drink and they went, let's go back and let's have another walk around.
Yeah, and they were
the
like,
house.
That counts as work because we were thinking about the case.
Yeah, and then they went to the neighbor's house because that's where Philip had his dinner on a regular basis. So they
interview.
Got fed there.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, then we'll have another walk around the house and then we'll probably just discard it.
100% behind this.
I mean,
but
that is not far off.
Well, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing him like talking to him, like, Roy, you ever been on a smell case before? Well, I have. And it goes all the way to the top.
Watch this. This is how we get free food. Let's go and talk to the neighbors again.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
They did. They put the house under surveillance. So kind of what you described. I'm picturing them in like a car. So what do you think? They're surveying the house. They're there for a few days.
Yeah.
What do you think happens next? What do you think is the next thing?
Ooh, they see a flash of light in the attic.
Ooh, flash
and
light in the attic.
A giant ass in the window. Doing a shit.
That guy's Roy, I've seen an ass and I've seen shit, and that's both. That guy is shitting on his own shit pile. I love the idea there's just a giant window that no, like he's in this hutch, but there's a lovely window just, with a view.
Yeah, bored doing like bird things in the shadow birds and doing shitting out things that like in an arc that makes it look like the silhouette of a Punch and Judy puppet or something with a massive big nose or something. Sorry, I've had a lot of booze. Sorry.
To be fair, that is like, I mean, that's better. That's better. They literally just went, is that a man in the house? And I went, yes.
Oh, well, how did they spot him?
He just walked around the house. I mean,
he literally came down to stretch his legs.
He must have come down, maybe some food.
Use the real toilet every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. So they ran inside.
What was the toilet outdoors in the 1940s?
Interesting.
Why do it outdoors when you can shit in the loft?
It's nice and warm in here. Nice and warm and stinky.
Some places, but not Denver. Not Colorado.
They run inside.
Rocky Mountain High.
So they run inside to catch this guy.
They do. And they run. They look around the house and the house is empty.
And he's gone again.
Yeah.
Well, I can't explain it.
And then they heard a noise coming from upstairs.
Hey, you know how this is 1941?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know the exact date of this. Does this predate real Spider-Man? Did he get... Which way did it go
it
named?
It does predate Spider-Man.
Does it?
I love it. Someone in the audience is like, it does, I know about Spider-Man.
It does, right. Right, it does.
Okay.
So I don't know whether, like, Stan Lee, like, was reading about this guy shitting in an attic and was like,
I think that'll make a good comic.
Let's put him in a wrestler outfit. No. It's how the best ideas, anyway.
So, like, they hear a noise coming from upstairs and they run upstairs. Okay. What do you think they see? And this, to me, is the creepiest image of this whole thing.
The bum again.
Piles of shit made into, like, made into a statue of Philip that just, but, like, with a knife in it, really, and it's gone hard, you know, the way poo does. And then just, like, but, no.
So there's that. Katie?
Roy, you ever been on a shit statue case before? Well, I have.
I think they see a bum.
They see a bum.
They see a bum running for the attic.
Do you know what? They see a pair of legs disappearing. That's creepy, right? It's so creepy. Into a small opening into the attic. So they grab him and pull him out and take him downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown Denver.
Yeah.
Do you think he admitted to what he did?
No, because he's a shitbag. No.
Yeah.
He'd have denied that. He's like Prince Andrew. No, no, no.
I was in a Pizza Express in Woking.
Deny, deny, deny.
I mean, I kind of feel like this guy's banged to rights, like in the sense that he's up in the attic.
It's like, sir, your shit is everywhere.
Yeah. He did admit to it, but he insisted to the police that killing Peters had been a split-second decision. Police.
Oh, he did, like quite quickly.
Yeah, he did. He said it was him.
Okay.
And the police sent someone up into the attic after they found Coney's. Who do you think they sent?
His wife.
Someone we've met so far. A new recruit.
Why are you sending somebody up, like an attic expert?
They sent, and I quote, this is just, their smallest police officer.
Because
it was small.
Who was the smallest police officer? Were women allowed to be police officers then?
Wow.
Was it a dude?
PC Jimmy Cranky went up to the attic to fucking fun dabby doozy.
That's the prize.
Is that the prize?
That's the prize.
Oh, no, we've got a prize down here. We've got a prize. We're trying to work out. Like, once I drank the prize booze, so...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, this is the prize, guys.
No.
Crack it open. Come on. Come on.
Don't shout KKK in a row. That's a bad...
So, yeah, apparently in the attic, Coney's had made a sort of nest. He'd collected his waste and had not bathed during his 8 months. Yeah, so the...
Wait, the nest was his waste?
No.
Oh, right,
no,
okay.
No, but...
He's not a monster.
Okay.
And the stench ended up making the tiny little officer vomit.
Yes.
Because it was disgusting.
Oh, poor tiny officer.
Because I was like, this is sort of like Rudolph. It's like, no, we'll exploit what's different about you and then we'll respect you, but then...
Very appropriate. But
this guy got... he coined the name for it. So he went up there and he said that a man would have to be a spider to stand it long up there. So that's why he's the Spider-Man.
Thank you.
So
imagine if that had been the comic book. Like, that's that sucks.
Yeah. So almost a year to the day since the murder happened, Coney's was charged with murder. Do you think he was found guilty?
No.
Yes, he admitted to it.
No.
No.
Do you know what? It is a good point because he did admit to it. And then I read a bunch of stuff about this. And then they were like, he was found guilty by a jury.
Like, at what point is a man's word not enough?
Oh, this is just like Midsummer Murders, though. You just, they don't, they'll find an excuse to just carry on because they've got nothing else to do. Won't they?
Well, you have to go through the motions, right? It's due process.
Well, he was sentenced to...
Oh, yeah, he needs a fair trial, sure.
It's a fair trial. Yeah.
And he was sentenced Imagine, to...
This is when I picture defense attorneys, though, on cases where, like... never mind.
He was sentenced to life in prison, where he died in 1967 at the age of 84. Wow. Just to sort of round out this story, because there's not, you know, there's not much more to this story apart from the fact that he, this was a man who lived in the attic. I mean, it's so creepy. But one article I read about this case ended with the author saying that the most chilling thing about this case was the fact that sometimes he and his wife would drive past the house.
What?
Like, what? That's not the creepiest thing about this case.
No, definitely the murder and the whole living there with the shit thing.
Do you know what, though?
I loved it.
It is very creepy, and I don't want to be like defending the murderer because of it, but I feel really horrible about this man's life and the fact that, like, he's going to guitar club. It's like we said, like, they met at guitar club, and you feel like at some point they'd be like, I own a guitar too. I have a house. I don't have one of those. And I just feel like there was no empathy. Like, what fight happened? Yes, it would be freaky to find your friend from guitar club in your fridge, but wouldn't you have some questions?
I totally missed the guitar club bit.
Did I make that up? Did I make up guitar club?
No, guitar club happened.
Guitar club. I just feel like there's... The first rule of guitar club is like, look after your fellow guitar club members.
Yeah, but maybe he lived in the house and then he became agoraphobic. And then he was like, oh, I can't go out. Yeah. I live in a loft now. I'm shitting in a corner by a chimney stack. I'll just carry that on. And then when they're out, I'll do my G string when I need to. And then I'll perhaps strum a couple of choruses of Kumbaya. And then...
I mean, actually, yeah, if you play it right...
Maybe he was a peaceful chap and it just went a bit wrong on a day that just wasn't going well for him.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, actually, people are going to go out. You can use their toilet. Mm. You just need a chamber pot. You don't even have to live in filth.
I like the fact he thought that he had his guitar up there with him.
I reckon he did.
There's like some smells and like quite a lot of great music.
Listen, I lived in a flat, and upstairs there were three boys playing guitars and a trumpet.
Oh,
thank you.
Sorry.
Yes.
Do you know Lou?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
And Jesus. A trumpet. And then one day they got an upright piano delivered.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And now they're Oasis.
And they never left that flat. And the smell. And their bathroom was over my bathroom. So if I was ever having a wee and they went to the toilet, it was like a race. Because... if I was having a poo and they were having a poo, it was like... And... I could hear those sweet, sweet plops hitting the pan.
Oh, man.
And I never saw them. I never saw them. They never left. They never left the flat.
That is a lot like this.
Do you know what I always...
same, innit? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Same. Fucking musicians.
Moments like this at our shows, I always think of like the poor eight people that were like, well, I like the title. It sounds like a bit of an Agatha Christie murder mystery. Let's go to the theatre.
Fucking idiots.
I'm not sure whether... They're there. They're British and polite. So they're like, we won't leave. Don't. No, we can't leave. It's too rude. But they're like, plops. Honestly?
Plops.
That was good.
Well, that's kind of like, that's the end of that story.
So he died in prison.
He died in prison, yeah.
Age 84, though. Not bad.
84, yeah.
Not bad. Oh, we had a good innings. The murdering bastard, but God. Oh, good on him. He really stuck it out, didn't he?
Well, sadly, like the relative luxury of prison after that.
Yeah, well, you know? Yeah.
Good training
regular
in the loft.
Meals, toilet. But this is horribly dark. I sound like a cunt. I'm just just saying.
It is quite... Well, ladies and gentlemen, I mean... The pressure now is on someone in the audience to really lighten this up. Somebody's like, yep,
oh, wow,
I've got it.
Yay!
I shit in my own attic.
Lady.
I'm absolutely fine with it. I mean, oh, there's a lady there, there's a lady there, there's a lady there.
Choice.
Oh my God, there's so many. Okay.
Do you know what?
We oh my
might,
God.
For the first time ever.
We have more time.
And actually, we didn't open this, right?
The prize is down right. there, so we can give two prizes, is what we're saying.
Oh.
And we're wasting time, aren't we, speaking amongst Sorry. Ourselves. The lady I saw first here, would you like to tell us your true crime? Give her a hand.
Yay! What's your name?
Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
My crime has one victim and four suspects.
Ooh, we love a suspect.
So, 24 years ago when I was 2 years old, my
mum... Oh, right. Yeah. Right, you're young.
My mum woke up and all her eyelashes had been cut off.
That is so fucked up. Oh, my God.
We have covered necrophilia on this podcast, but that is fucked up.
I know.
My vulva's just tightened. I don't know why.
It just got like that.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And the four suspects are me. I was two and I'm still a suspect.
No, you're innocent.
My brother and sister, okay. who are like 8 and... 10, and
okay, they're in the mix.
My dad, who they're now divorced, so
definitely your dad.
Okay,
definitely
it's not looking good for him.
But my nan, but to add another dynamic, my nan and granddad live next door, and my two uncles live there as well, and they all had keys.
So
really, there's 8 suspects. So my question is,
all right, yeah,
who cut off my
Right. Who was anyone angry with your mum? Who? What was the backstory?
My mum is a lunatic, so we're all bottled down.
Okay, so everybody has motive.
Yeah, I was a psychotic child.
But you were two. You were two.
We've got a psychotic child.
Okay. No, a therapist once said I had no empathy.
Oh my God! She's a serial killer. She's a. Do you live in your loft?
And now do you live I teach in... children.
Look, people.
I'm sorry. I thought we had time for 2 crimes, but we're going to have to unpack this for 20 minutes.
Seriously, people judged me when I was 2. And
what did you do?
I did nearly kill someone. But it was an accident. We don't need to get into that now.
Okay.
But me, I didn't... to my knowledge, cut anyone's eyelashes.
Do you know what? The dexterity it would take as a 2-year-old to cut off eyelashes but not gouge out her eyes.
Yeah. My kid can't even cut out circles and she's 4. Like,
but if they were like, you know, like those kids kind of special paper scissors, then, you know, them like those fucking plastic kind of...
They're designed for it, basically.
I'm from Liverpool, we don't have special scissors.
No, yours was... Yours was a Stanley knife, wasn't it? Okay.
All right. Wow. Did your mum have really impressive eyelashes?
Yeah.
Would this be a way to upset her?
Yes.
Like, oh, that'd have been a
this
relative.
This is like
though,
her Samson eyelashes.
Who do you think did it?
Either me. I don't remember.
You were 2 years old.
Or my dad.
Or your dad.
Really? Okay.
How are the siblings? What kinds of peeps are we talking
about?
Well,
my sister is like the perfect child. Which
it was her.
Yeah.
It was 100% her.
Which just makes me suspicious.
Yeah.
That's very suspicious.
That anger's got to come out somewhere.
She's like, I'll get
and
to wait.
And she listens to this, so.
Okay.
What's her name?
Leonie.
Hang on. Didn't you say your name was Leah?
Lydia.
I'm sorry, Lydia. And your sister's called?
Leonie.
No, I can't. What? I mean, that's too much. There's so many L's.
It's not the issue.
No, it's not.
I think it was your perfect sister. I think she was like biding time.
I think it's either a sibling or like, if it's your dad though, it's so dark.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Like, oh, this, that's like such a dark thing to do as an adult with all the knowledge of what comes with that.
Yeah, I think he's cut them off and then he's put them in like a little kind of...
And he still has them.
I think he's stuck them to a little bit of card and he's kept them in his wallet. And then occasionally he's like, okay, yeah, just, yeah, I'll chop them off. Yeah, I reckon. Yeah. So sorry.
So for the listeners, for this raucous reaction to make sense, there was a wank gesture.
Just in case her sister didn't really hear the whole thing. Just so she knows.
I feel like the thing is, if it was...
Did they grow back? I've got some questions around
that. Yes, obviously.
Yeah, they grow back.
So eyelashes like, do grow back.
Yeah. Not the issue.
Are you...
Like, if it was a sibling, we need to talk about Kevin. But if it was the dad, like... That, like... That
I don't think it was also the dad. Needs
help. I think it was the perfect sister.
No, I don't. I think it was the dad.
The uncles?
Yeah. And yeah, if the mum has
really?
Many... Oh, wait.
My
the
brother
uncles,
cut
the
off
uncles.
My eyelashes.
Oh, you're like Poirot.
Are the uncles your mum's brothers or brothers-in-law? They're her real
uncles
brothers.
Oh, uncles through marriage.
They're
now it makes sense. That's less...
They're real brothers. That's like vendetta.
I mean, it definitely wasn't one of them.
Why is it definitely not your uncles?
I mean, one of them's in a wheelchair, so I don't think... Okay.
Okay, fine.
But maybe the other one.
What did your mother do for a living, or does she do? Because you're so young, she's probably still working.
She's a teacher.
She's a teacher?
Yeah.
What has this taught you?
I don't have an answer for that one. I do have an answer for a previous murder on the show.
A murder on the show?
Well, you solved a murder.
Crime. Oh, wow, go for it.
My wife left a review about how her house had been burned down and she wanted the answer of who had burnt her house down.
Oh, yes.
And you talked about it on the show and you accused her.
Oh, fuck! Oh, my God! Uh-oh. Oh, my God! We're going to wake up in the Travelodge with no eyelashes. And, oh, my God!
And when she went home... And she said to her mum, I wrote into this podcast and they think it was me. She just laughed and said, no, that was your stepdad.
Oh, my God.
So, well, we work in mysterious ways.
That is amazing.
We've genuinely solved a crime on this.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Amazing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, does really anybody have a crime that takes... Less than 3 minutes. Let's do it quickly. Come on now.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like Bruce Forsyth.
She's like, I once cut off somebody's eyelashes.
No.
What's your name?
Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
No, we can do this quickly because it's been brought up on this show before.
Ooh.
However, she was also called Sarah. So she told it wrong and she didn't share the Prosecco with me. And it was my crime.
Oh, my God. It's another one that we've had before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go on.
So... one day, somebody broke into where I lived and wrote on my knickers.
What? Wrote on your knickers?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember this.
The drunk class
meeting. Okay, this is getting so meta. I can't.
And they thought it had been done. It had been done before, right?
I remember this.
University.
So repeat offender kept writing on your pants.
She told my crime.
And that's your crime?
And drank my Prosecco.
What a cunt.
That is the crime.
So your crime is her?
No.
Is she here?
She did sell it as my crime. And she did. I texted her saying, you better say my full name on podcast. And she did. And you said, why are you saying her full name? And she said, because my friend told me to. Anyway, so somebody broke into where I lived and wrote on my knickers.
What did they write?
Sexy. They were.
I mean...
They were like my biggest pants.
Oh, it was facetious.
What did they write it in? What was it written in?
So I had a shower. Yeah. I left the latch on my door. You know when you push the little thing up on your door so it doesn't automatically lock?
Yeah.
Came back in.
Yeah.
went to get my knickers out the drawer. Yeah. And I was like, something's written on my pants.
In a Sharpie really or jizz or lipstick or what?
So it's like, while you were in, like, the shower, they did
how
it.
How have they written on my pants? So I looked at my dresser and my pens were all out, like my selection of tips. And they were all out.
That's horrible. So they were like, you were vulnerable in the shower while they did it.
No.
Oh. He lived in your loft. This is what it is. He Spider-Man'd it down while you were in the loft. He nicked your cheese from the fridge. It he spunked on your pants in a... He wrote a word.
Wrote on them.
And then fucked off
it.
Back up.
Yeah. It was a brown Sharpie. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what we can do is we can solve one crime, which was that she drank your Prosecco. So you
maybe
have
she did.
A Sainsbury's Taste the Difference.
Oh. This is actually more expensive than Prosecco, but it might not be what you want.
So thank you very much. Thank you. So all that leaves is, Lou, what are you bloody up to? Let us know.
Oh, well. Hang on a minute. So what am I up to? Da 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 da. God, fucking love booze. So I filmed my Edinburgh show from last year for Next Up.
Wicked.
Which is a channel. Next Up is a comedy channel. And that will be released in the next couple of weeks. My Edinburgh show was called At Least I'm Not Dog Poo Darren. and that's being released in a couple of weeks. And then I'm getting ready for Edinburgh next year with a show called Lady Godiva.
Thank you.
I love that. That's a really good name. I love the heckles at our show.
Yes.
But welcome, female. Welcome.
You can follow me. You can follow me on the Instagram and the Twitter on at Lou Conran. LouConran. Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lou Conran.
Lou Conran.
Well, I guess all that remains to be said is thank you so much for coming and joining us. This has been amazing. It's so much fun to do the whole thing. So thank you very much. Thank you, cheers!
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.